Hi, hi. The episode that follows is part of a 7-episode series on the trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow. Spoilers abound. Be sure you've watched the movie before listening. It's very, very trans, so beautiful and so important, but it is very emotionally heavy. You'll want to be in a good headspace and heart space before watching, and be sure to have someone to hug after. Onward we go. Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Tilly Vision comes in for a landing in the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow, Part 7. Owen or Isabel, who will survive? Who will get buried forever? It may not be who you think. I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the shovel that helped me unbury myself, Susan Bridges.
Hello. We could talk about that, actually.
Oh?
We could.
Well, okay, one minute. I just want to mention, of course, our returning guest is my lovely and dear friend, Lila Sturgeons.
Hello.
Okay, what do you have to talk about with shovels?
Oh, I just remember, like, before you transition,
yeah,
but you wanted to transition,
right?
But you had decided to wait for a specific period of time,
right?
At one point you were like, I can't do anything, I feel so helpless.
Yeah.
And I was,
it was hard to have to wait.
I just remember just being like, sure, you can do things, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, and you're like, oh yeah, I guess I could do those things.
Yeah. And they were small things.
They were very small things.
But it helped. Mm-hmm. It did help, you know, because it was something I could do. And so, yeah, you are my shovel. You're my shovel and my axe. I am a multi-tool.
I am the annoying fixer personality.
Well, yeah.
Like, I just want to fix everything I hear about.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can fix that. I can fix that.
Sometimes I just want to complain. And she's like, no, I will finish all your problems.
I don't want you to fix this.
Yes.
I know. I can be quite annoying in that way.
It's okay.
But this worked out.
You're my shovel axe. It's good.
Well, you're very lucky to have had, you know, such a useful,
I know,
and lovely implement.
Am.
Yeah.
You're my implement.
Oh, babe. You're a lovely implement. Wonderful.
All right. Let's get into it for the last time. 1 hour, 19 minutes, 42 seconds. Owen runs home, surrounded only by dysphoria, fear, and despair, and looks to where his dad used to be watching TV. But the couch is empty because it's his now. He's going to take the place his father occupied and, quote, be a man and give in to the masculinity that society expects of him.
That is such a powerful moment.
It's the exact same shot when his dad was there, but it is not. It is his space now. You can just eat it. Yeah. Yeah. Owen, after that night on the football field, I locked myself inside. He doesn't mean his house. He means he locked Isabel inside of himself. 1 hour, 19 minutes, 53 seconds. Look at him surrounded by that green, looking at and only seeing fear. Note the yellow here is again a barrier, a metaphor keeping him, Isabel, inside. I didn't leave the house for days. I kept waiting for her to show back up, to force me underground, but she never did. Nobody can force you to transition. You have to choose to.
Yeah, we're coming up on one of the most painful title cards I've ever seen in a film, which is the length of time that is about to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 hour, 20 minutes, 11 seconds. Riding Around in the Dark by Florist plays. And if you think this song might have some transy lyrics that apply to Owen right at this moment too, you are not mistaken. Eyes turning, light burning, and I'm far from gone, and the deepest feelings, faces come and go. Owen, I told myself I made the right choice. Maddie's story was insane and it couldn't be true. But some nights, when I was working late at the movie theater, I found myself wondering, what if she was right? What if she had been telling the truth? What if I really was someone else? Someone beautiful and powerful. Someone buried alive and suffocating to death. Oh, babe, you're so close, so close. Also, again, a reminder that long before this movie, I described my own dysphoria as being like drowning, which is suffocation, my friends. 1 hour, 21 minutes. Look at this brilliant shot of Owen's head in front of the popcorn on the movie screen. Owen, but I know that's not true. That's just fantasy. Kids stuff. His head is the exact same shape as the yellow popcorn bucket on the screen behind him. His head is full of fear.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about that when Owen went back to the house.
Yeah.
And the dad wasn't there.
Right.
But then he's in his bedroom, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, this is his house now.
Yeah, and he's not
there, and he's still in his kid's bedroom.
In his kid's bedroom.
And it doesn't look any different.
No, yeah, that's a great observation.
Because he can't mature anymore.
Right.
He's
no longer able to, progress as a person.
In a liminal space, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour, 21 minutes, 15 seconds, and now the most important shot in the entire movie, the chalk scribble. There is still time. Look how much more jumbled and chaotic his head is now. But look at the end of the street amidst all the despair and the jumbled mind holding the truth. He's ignoring it all and heading right toward fear. It's all he can see. Even though the pink message of his transness is right there telling him it's not too late.
I'm so happy that the director included this shot.
Yeah.
It changes the movie.
Yep.
And it's so important. And so, again, generous of the filmmaker to include this, because I think it would have been a lot easier to make a film with a very bleak ending.
Yeah.
And felt like, oh, I did something artsy here. But to put this clearly stated message of hope here, right before everything wraps up, I think is super, super important. It just underscores this is the message of the movie.
It does. Yeah. And it's what I think, if this shot wasn't here, I would have interpreted the ending the way I've seen a lot of other people interpret it, thinking it was bleak. But this is what made me think, well, this shot is here for a reason, right? What are they telling us? And that is what helped me find all the other evidence that we'll talk about in a little bit, because there is more than just this shot. But this is the most important shot in the movie. 1 hour, 21 minutes, 35 seconds. Owen, I work at the fun center now, restocking the ball pit with balls. Like, he's making sure to keep a good supply of balls, upholding the cis man society he says he has to be? Super text much? 1 hour, 21 minutes, 50 seconds. Owen, time moves fast these days. Years pass like seconds. Remember Maddie said that happened to her too? He's still dissociating. I try not to think too hard about it. Yeah, because if he does, what's he going to realize, do you think? 1 hour, 22 minutes, 4 seconds. It was time for me to become a man. Oh, super text. A real adult, a productive member of society. You have obligations. Follow them and ignore your true self and true desires. 1 hour, 22 minutes, 19 seconds. Owen brings his new TV inside. I even got a family of my own. I love them more than anything. Obligations, obligations, obligations to us. We never see them.
We never see them. Yes. We never see them.
1 hour, 22 minutes, 30 seconds. The new TV he's dragging in is an LG, which has the tagline, "Life is good." On the commentary, Jane said this was the production designer's choice when getting a box for the shot. And how perfect is it? My life must be good. This is what society says I'm supposed to do and want to be. It is genius. And it shows you how so many different people come together to make collaborative art like this and contribute to its meaning. But also note, outside his house, despair. Inside, fear. The house next door, danger. His life, such as it is, hasn't changed at all.
I just wanted to say, too, he's, like, wearing a grayish...
It's also muted and gray.
Practically blends into the background, like, that you can hardly see him, because, look, I'm I'm blending in. I'm part of society. I'm not standing out. No one's going to look at me weird.
Right. And that's all part of it because, you know, when you feel so dysphoric, you don't want to be noticed because then you have to put on the act and you don't know how and you feel bad and gross and don't know why. And yeah, that I did that all the time.
Being invisible is better, except then you're alone, but it's better. But,
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, poor Owen. Just makes me sad to think
I
about.
know. 1 hour, 22 minutes, 58 seconds. Owen puts out the fire of his inner self, his transness, his truth, for good. Or so he thinks, but it leaves him in darkness. 1 hour, 23 minutes, 25 seconds. Owen. Anyway, like I was saying, it was raining the other night and I couldn't sleep, so I started the Pink Opaque again, and it was nothing like I remembered it.
Anyway, like I was saying an hour and a half ago, and an entire movie ago.
Yeah, remember what he said about Maddie and how she couldn't be right. It was just a fantasy. Kids stuff. They weren't
That's that.
exploring transness. They were just a couple of kids playing around. There was nothing more to it. And he's convinced himself that's all it was. So when he watches the show now, that's all he sees. Not the truth of it, but some sanitized, flattened, muted version of it. Kids stuff.
And not scary or challenging at all.
No, not remotely. 1 hour, 24 minutes, 4 seconds. Wizard of Oz and Mrs. Doubtfire DVDs are next to the TV, and they were chosen by Jane. On the commentary, they said this is meta commentary about the history of queer cinema. They found them in the house. They did not bring them. The house they shot in, they were just there. And
Oh,
they were like,
wow.
these must be put in the shot next to the TV right now. So.
Mrs. Doubtfire is just like shots fired, man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. 1 hour, 24 minutes, 23 seconds. As Owen watches it, he's wheezing again. Owen, bud, if it's just goofy kid stuff, why on earth are you reacting like you just had the wind knocked out of you? Because he still knows, despite all he's done to convince himself otherwise. But this is so important because it's a setup for the ending. We know his subconscious is telling him there is still time. We know his dysphoria is suffocating him. Will he accept that's what it is? Will he realize the internalized transphobia keeping him from self-actualization? 1 hour, 24 minutes, 35 seconds. The world spins and flashes. Owen, I just felt embarrassed. And again, that's what society and internalized transphobia want you to feel. 1 hour, 24 minutes, 55 seconds. Cut to the fun center, and what do we have? Spinning dysphoria, fear, and danger, a claw machine. If you remember from the earlier song, a heart that can't grab onto anything. 1 hour, 25 minutes, 10 seconds. A Mr. Melancholy game. Transphobia is everywhere, even here. Owen cannot escape it. Note that in the game, Mr. Melancholy is fighting the pink opaque ghosts. It's called Mr. Melancholy's Midnight Dash, the race for your life. Super text. 1 hour, 25 minutes, 35 seconds. 20 years later.
20
Owen's
years later.
20 years later.
20 years.
Owen's literally and figuratively still in the same place, surrounded by despair and fear, but there are some small hints of transness still. 1 hour, 25 minutes, 46 seconds. He opens a box of balls, still pretending to be the man society says he is, still wheezing because it's suffocating him. And if you wonder how that makes him feel, gee, look at the colors the balls are. The transness is there, but it's entirely overridden with fear.
A little bit of despair.
1 hour, 25 minutes, 54 seconds. Look at his lips. He stopped taking care of himself because he feels entirely disconnected from his body and sees no reason to. I did this too. So many trans people do because we see no reason to. Our bodies aren't ours, so why should we care? I talked about that a bit in the Unexpected Changes of Transness episode.
I still have problems with that. I still have problems taking care of my physical person for that reason.
It's a hard thing to get used to when you spent your whole life being like, why should I care about this? You know, I didn't get it ever. It made no difference to me. 1 hour, 27 minutes. During the party, Owen is miserable, finds a spot alone in the corner. This was me at every party ever. It's Neo in the club in the first Matrix. We don't want to be perceived as the wrong gender because it's so painful. We don't want to interact with anyone because then we have to put on a painful performance of someone we're not, don't want to be, and don't know how to be. Oh, okay. 1 hour, 27 minutes, 15 seconds, and then the most harrowing moment in the movie for every trans person who ever lived with dysphoria. Owen screams, guttural, primal, it is agony, it is terror, it is misery, it is loneliness, it is a lifetime of suffocation and pain, and nobody else can see it. They're frozen. They don't react because they don't know. You need to help me. I'm dying right now. He sobs. This is life with dysphoria, not just at work, but at home and with family and friends and everything you love, everywhere you go, every second of every day. You are drowning and dying and being buried alive, and nobody knows or cares. And some, in fact, may be tossing dirt on top of the pile to help bury you. It tears my heart to shreds every time I see it. This was my entire life pre-transition. My entire life. Justice Smith's performance, the direction, everything about it, it is magnificent and horrible and beautiful and agonizing all at once. I've never seen anything like it in anything ever.
Yeah, it's rough. It's real hard to watch. And it strikes something, it strikes a really deep, deep chord in me. And I think that,
yeah,
you know, I've thought a lot about the fact that he screams mommy, you know.
Yeah, we're going to, yeah.
And we're going to talk, we're going to talk about that. Okay.
I think it was in there, isn't it? Yes, we get there in a second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, you know, my wife, who is not trans, although she is non-binary, this scene made her sob. This moment, the scream made her sob. And I think it speaks to sort of, I think one of the ways that we can help communicate the trans experience is not by explaining like the thoughts, but the feelings, right?
Yeah.
Because feelings are universal. And like people know what it's like to feel that kind of abject loneliness. I think it's a feeling that a lot of people can tap into, you know, that total despair. And, you know, maybe if we can make people understand that, you know, for many of us, the alternative to being our true selves is to live in a state of constant agony.
Yeah.
Maybe that would help.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, that's the power of allegory, right? Like, we need surface level trans stories. We need more trans representation in stuff and more stories by trans people. But the power of an allegory is that people can connect with you and know what you're going through without even realizing that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And that's how you change hearts and minds, I think. So,
I think so too.
Sorry, ignore me. That's what Owen says afterward. Well, we wouldn't want our waking death to be a burden to the people around us, would we? That damned effing Luna juice from Mr. Melancholy can F off into the sun. 1 hour, 27 minutes, 55 seconds. On the commentary, Jane, about Owen's scream. Come on, dude, you know you're Isabel. What did Maddie say at the beginning of the film? Don't apologize. 1 hour, 28 minutes, 12 seconds. Owen screams, Mommy. He's screaming for the femininity he lost because he gave it up, made the choice to ignore it, and give in to transphobia. He coughs, seems to be choking on something. I wonder what it could be.
I think there's another read of that mommy line.
Yeah.
My read on it is that this is a despair that is not something that we come to as adults. It's something that is with us from...
We've always had it, yeah.
Very early days. You know, I first had inklings of transness when I was like 5.
Yeah, me too.
And I didn't understand it consciously because I had absolutely no context for it.
Right, yeah, same.
But... those first feelings of alienation and loneliness came very early at a time when I might have screamed mommy rather than mom or any other thing.
Sure.
So I think it's an old pain. It's an old hurt.
Yeah.
It's not recent. It's not new.
Right. And, you know, to tie into that, his mom at this point has been gone for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the callback.
He was the one who most supported him to be himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanted to be sure he was on the right path.
Yeah.
1 hour, 28 minutes, 16 seconds. On the commentary, Jane says, a couple people tried to get me to cut the mommy. That's devastating. I'm so glad they fought for it and refused to cut it. It is so vital. 1 hour, 28 minutes, 26 seconds. Owen sits on the floor of the men's bathroom. It is the most heavily gendered place in society, only for men, and he's got his shirt off. He's getting real with himself. He is cracking in exactly the way you think. Here's one of the other most important shots of the movie. 1 hour, 28 minutes, 37 seconds. The sink is full of ugly blue gunk. Did you wonder why this shot is here? What is this? Owen had no liquids with him, but he was choking on something. The Luna juice.
Luna juice.
He has expelled the final dregs of his own internalized transphobia. 1 hour, 28 minutes, 54 seconds. Owen cuts himself open so he can finally look deep inside himself. And what does he find? 1 hour, 29 minutes, 36 seconds. The dysphoria of urinals, aka men and manhood, behind him, despair off to the side. He looks into himself and he sees the static. The static Maddie told him that Mr. Melancholy put inside him to confuse him and obscure his truth. He can see it for what it is, and that it's in there, and if you can identify it, that is the first step to fighting it, getting rid of it, replacing it with your recovered, stolen heart, and choosing to transition. And try to be rid of the static entirely, and look how happy he is to see it. Because now he knows for sure, his egg cracked, he's trans, and he knows it.
Yeah, it's a wild moment.
It is a moment. So weird. The first time I saw it, I was just like, what is happening here?
And, you know, and his expression is so, you know, it's visceral. It's like, he's experiencing this sort of like wild joy. And it's, I think it's that joy of like, yeah, yes, okay, I admit it, I'm trans. And I think it's interesting to me that the evidence that he needed was what was inside him the whole time, which was the dysphoria.
Yeah.
Right? Because for me, like, that was like something that I could feel, you know, and know, like, okay, this is real. Like, this is a feeling I have in my body, you know? And so that must mean something. And so I think it was really helpful to me to actually understand that the dysphoria was telling me a truth that I didn't have any external way of verifying.
Yeah.
So in the way of like the dysphoria was like what I needed in order to prove to myself that I was who I was. Does that make any sense?
It does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little envious of the trans people who don't have dysphoria and just figure it out without dysphoria. I'm like, wow, that's right. Like,
how'd you do
good
that?
Good for that's you.
Good trick. Yeah. Wish I could have done that.
1 hour, 29 minutes, 54 seconds. Near the end of this sequence, Pink appears within the static. His transness is still buried in there, and he can dig it out now that he can see the static covering it. The glow emanating from it even takes on a pink hue. Also, the shape of the wound may indicate anatomical changes to his body that he needs. And neither I nor this movie are saying you need bottom surgery to be trans or transition. This is just metaphor. 1 hour, 29 minutes, 24 seconds. When Owen sees the static inside him, on the commentary, Jane says, a lot of different feelings going on here. Relief, transcendence, horror, peace, self-understanding, exhaustion, having a vagina on your chest. The egg crack moment is a hell of a thing. 1 hour, 30 minutes, 48 seconds. Owen puts the Fun Center shirt and vest back on, but maybe it is just me, but before it looked like those were the clothes that Owen was wearing. But in the shots after that, when his breathing calms, he's not suffocating, accepting himself has already helped some, he looks like he's wearing a costume of Owen to me. The way the clothes hang, his posture, like he knows this isn't the end of the road and he's going to have to boy mode for a while yet, but it's just a costume. It's always been a costume, but now he knows it's a costume. For more on boy moding and girl moding, see that episode of this very show. And look at his lips. Before, they were incredibly chapped, and now they kind of seem good. What happened that his body is suddenly already changing? Again, 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 you do not have to change your body to be trans or transition, though a great many of us do. This is metaphor. 1 hour, 30 minutes, 59 seconds. He apologizes to all the cis people as transphobia has taught him, and it causes the suffocation and wheezing to come back. This is not going to be easy. Mr. Melancholy makes sure of that. But this isn't a backslide. I want to remind you that there is a line from Maddie in the planetarium monologue. right before she transitioned to her true self for good, she said, "I screamed as loud as I could for help. I apologized for the whole thing." What did Owen just do? Screamed as loud as he could for help and then apologized for it. He's right where she was, on the cusp of real transition. 1 hour, 31 minutes, 24 seconds. It cuts to black and we hear static. The static Owen now knows is there, covering his truth. 1 hour, 31 minutes, 26 seconds. And when the credits appear, the static is gone and the background isn't black. It's pink. Another Season by Francis Quinlan plays. Are you wondering if this is another transy song with lyrics directly applicable to Owen and where he's going? Bingo. Hello, dear acquaintance, even. If this isn't over, what else could take shape? How will you remember it? Which, to me, all outlines Owen's trajectory from there. This is a hopeful ending because he knows for sure now, and the static will eventually stop or lessen, and his transness will remain. And without the static, the Luna Juice, or Mr. Melancholy, he can embrace it and return his heart and Isabel. 1 hour, 36 minutes, 30 seconds. On the commentary, Bridget. You reminded me that this is not real life. Like we're working to access another reality, which is our true reality, and it's really painful, but we know it's true. That this isn't real and the constraints that are constantly on us are illusions and that we just have to trust each other. I'm just talking about being trans. You just have to be around people that remind you that your reality is real because otherwise you'd go crazy. 1 hour, 39 minutes, 17 seconds. Bridget, if you bought this for someone to crack their egg, did it work? Jane, yeah, bring this DVD around town. Crack some eggs, pass it on.
I just wanted to point out one of my favorite shots in the film, which you did not mention for some insane reason.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Which is that as Owen is walking through the fun center at the very end, there is a kid grabbing dollar bills out of the air in a little booth game. And above the booth game is red text that says, "You are dying," which I think is really funny.
I didn't see that.
Yes.
All the times I watched, I missed it. Wow.
It says, "You are dying." And I think that that is like, it's funny, right? It's funny. So that some sting has been taken out of this notion that Owen is dying, right? Because like, it's like, it's ridiculous. This, you know, this kid's like grabbing at dollar bills, like doing the most like, you know, human activity, you know, consuming, right? And then there's a sign that says, "You're dying." And it's like, okay.
I'm always, every time I've seen that, I'm always so just enamored with the kid grabbing the dollar bills. I don't know why. I just love watching him. And I just missed every single time that that sign was above it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So there has been a lot of debate about the ending. And a lot of people see it as Owen retreating back into his false cis shell and never becoming Isabel. But this movie was never about him becoming Isabel. It was about him accepting that he is Isabel. And by the end, he does. Jane mentions at 1 hour and 22 minutes on the commentary, "It was always important to me that there is still time was there, not at the very end, but close enough to the end that it hopefully got its message across. And this was exactly how I interpreted the ending of the movie. And it delights me that that's what Jane intended. There is still time was there right before the end scene for a reason. Maddie fully transitioned with a scream and an apology, and so did Owen. He expelled the Luna Juice. He seized the static and internalized transphobia still inside him in a shape very suggestive of bodily change for someone assigned male at birth. His clothes then fit differently. His lips and body are instantly taken better care of. He's going to become his true self. It's not going to be easy or quick, but he's going to get there. Isabel lives." I know some people see the opposite, that the end is Owen denying Isabel yet again, but that's part of the genius of it to me because it works just like accepting your own transness. The signs are there. If you're not looking for them, if you miss them, you might come to the wrong conclusion and deny your truth. But if you look closely, those signs are absolutely there, will lead you right to that truth. Thank you all for coming along with me on this journey through a truly incredible movie. I hope I've been able to help you see what I see, to know and feel the truth and beauty within. To the entire cast and crew, thank you for helping to make this incredibly important film. To Justice Smith and Bridget Lundy Payne, thank you for the love and care you put into Owen and Maddie, for the honesty with which you portrayed them and the depth and reality you imbued them with.
and to Jane Schoenbrunn, who has given us this beacon of trans cinema, who conveyed our pain and struggle with such nuance and care and love. Thank you for showing the world what so many of us go through, and thank you for imbuing it with hope. And thank you for being here, Lila.
And thank you. And I think, you know, what I would want to say is anyone who's listening to this right now, whose egg was cracked by this, or who is thinking about letting their egg get cracked by this, there is still time.
There is still time.
It doesn't matter when it is for you. There is still
It does
time.
Not matter. You are never too old.
You're never too old.
It's never too
never
late.
Too late.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I meant it when I said this movie is sacred to me. It forever has my heart. There is still time. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/tillysbridges, and on Insta and Threads at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
You're my implement. Oh, babe. You're a lovely implement.